The sermon title today is God Blesses Faithfulness. 2 weeks ago, we talked about faith. And do you remember what the biblical faith definition is? It's not only believing, but acting on what you do believe. Faith and works have never truly been in competition with one another. It's the motivation that is behind them. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 this morning. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. So faith and works have never been in competition with one another. It's the motivation behind them. When you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. By the amazing, unmerited favor of God, we are saved through our faith in the Lord Jesus." In verse 9, it says, "Never has anyone, nor ever will be, saved by their works, earning their salvation." In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, it says, "Our righteousness is as filthy rags." There's nothing that you and I bring to the table in regards to salvation. There is nothing that we can bring to the table. Only through our faith in Christ, His righteousness, His sacrifice, can I be saved. Through my faith in Christ, I apply the action of confession. And by applying the action of confession, it brings salvation. That is fulfilling the biblical definition of faith. I believe it and I act upon it. Now turn with me to the book of James. James. In James chapter 2, James chapter 2, verse 14. In verse 14 of James chapter 2, it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him?" Verse 17. "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead." So we talked a lot about that a couple weeks ago, that the Webster Dictionary definition says that faith is believing in something. But when it comes to the Bible, we see that faith in just believing in something is called dead faith because it has no works to go alongside of it. So by my faith, I show my salvation. By my faith, I confess Christ as my Lord and Savior, and through that then I am saved. In verse 19, he says, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." In verse 20, "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" And then in verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. By works I show my faith that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ." By acting on our faith is not a one-time thing, is it? Acting on our faith is not a one-time thing. I said 2 weeks ago, we may not be theologians of the Bible, and we may not know everything that there is about end time, but there's one thing that we should know a lot about, and that is faith. As followers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not only called, but required to walk in faith daily. Everything we do, everything that we say, everything that we think, we need to bring that under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to walk in my faith. When we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Christ is Lord, that is faith. But when we act in faith in everything that we do and everything we say on a daily basis, that is called faithfulness. We are not only called to a one-time action of faith, but a daily walk of faith. Habakkuk 2 verse 4 says, "The just shall live by faith." Being a housewife does not define you. Being a farmer does not define you. Being a retired factory worker does not define you. Being a carpenter does not define you. None of these things define you. So whatever category that you're working in the field, or whatever that you're doing as far as making a living, it does not define you. Now, many people in the world, it does define them. Their education defines them. Their degrees define them. And that's exactly what they live toward. They live for that degree. They live for that position. They live for that next rung up the ladder because that defines them as a person. Your faith in Christ is what defines you, not your job and not what you do. It defines you as a child of God, as a saint of the Most High God. Why is it so important that we let our faith define us? Because your faith in Christ is the only everlasting thing you have. The only everlasting thing that you have is your faith. 6 months to a year from now, what you do today that you think is so important, you may no longer be able to do it. Our faith in God, our faithfulness is everlasting. Why is that? Because God is faithful. Now, if you turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 is kind of an example to us today from the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians 3, if we go to verse 3, Philippians 3, verse 3, it says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have what? No confidence in the flesh. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted a loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me." Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, I will be found faithful. That is the most important thing that I have in my life. In verse 20 and 21, he says, "Everything that I have done in my past, I count that as a loss. It's meaningless to me. And not that I have already attained, but I continue to press forward for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus." That's what you're going to find me doing, because that's what's important to me. Let's face it. A year from now, your pastor could have Alzheimer's. We have Alzheimer's that are going on a rampant rate. We could go a year from now and I may not even know your first name. But one thing they can't be taken from me is my faith in Jesus. My faithfulness to the Lord of my life. My citizenship is in heaven. And you can't take it away. The scripture says that we have been sealed to the day of redemption. And because we are sealed to the day of redemption, I may not remember my first name, I might not remember your first name, but because God is faithful, my God will take me to be home with him. You see, all these things that we wrap up into so many things in this world that are so very, very important, and how important are they? How important is it? I worked 35 years at 3M. How important is that? It won't even buy you a cup of coffee. I was in the National Guard for 6 years, so I'm a veteran. How important is that? It won't buy you a cup of coffee. I went to horseshoeing school. and learn how to shoe horses. If you brought a horse in here, I can shoe him for you. How important is that? Paul says, everything that I had in my background, everything that was in my past, everything that I thought was so important, I call it rubbish compared to my life I have in Jesus. Because that's the only everlasting thing that you have. At 68, I can't do the things I did when I was 35. And you guys can all relate to that. You can't do the things that you used to do. I remember working at Firestone and work afternoon at shift at Firestone, get off at midnight, come back to Pleasantville, be there about 1 o'clock in the morning, and get the dogs and go hunt till daylight. You think I can do that today? Well, I couldn't even hold an 8-hour job, let alone go hunting. Those things, that ship has sailed in our life. What's important is our relationship that we have with Jesus. Don't let the adversary stymie you, hypnotize you, in thinking that what is outside these four walls is really important, because there is nothing out there that is lasting. The only thing that is lasting in your life is your faith that you have in Jesus, because it's eternal. So now, after all that, I suppose I better get to the sermon. And the sermon title is, God Blesses Your Faithfulness. I want to give you an example of that before we close today. From the last book in the Old Testament, which we know is Malachi, and between Malachi and the New Testament was 400 years of silence. So 400 years of silence has transpired. Now turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Luke, chapter 1. In Luke, chapter 1, we read verse 26. We pick it up at verse 26. And we're going to read through verse 38. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And when the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord of God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God there is nothing will be impossible. And then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now let me ask you, why Mary? Why Mary? Of all the people, all the young ladies that were in the world, all the young ladies that were virgins in the world, why did God choose Mary? Well, look at the scripture. When you look at verse 28, what does the angel said? And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among all the other women. Verse 30, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Verse 38, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. God chose Mary. God was going to bless Mary because of her faithfulness. That's why he chose Mary. If you question that Mary had faithfulness, turn with me over to Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Listen to the words. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior." Now, did Mary go into the living room and pull out her King James Version Bible and was going to read this out of the Bible? Absolutely not, because she didn't have a Bible. This was all done from her memorization of her faithfulness that she had given over to the Lord, that she had been faithful in her walk, in her relationship with the Lord, even though the years were silent. It doesn't make any difference whether I hear from God or not. I need to walk in faithfulness. I need to be about my Father's business. I need to be doing what God wants His people to do. And Mary honored that, and Mary did that. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord," and in verse 47, "and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name, and His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud of the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, and He has spoken to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." God blessed Mary because of her faithfulness. God chose Mary because of her faithfulness. A few months ago, we were talking a lot about if you want to be blessed from God, then you need to position yourself so you can be blessed. If you want God to bless you, then you need to be positioning yourself to where God can bless you. Let me ask you, saint, today, have you positioned yourself through faithfulness in a position that God can bless you? That's a question for all of us, isn't it? God wants to bless us. I want, no matter what I am doing, no matter what I am going through, no matter what I am dealing with, I want the Lord to find me being faithful. Faithful. Faith isn't a one-time thing. That continued state of faithfulness. And you say, well, what's it look like? You say, well, am I faithful in my giving? I'm faithful in my attendance. All these different things that are true, and all these different things that are important. But am I faithful in my attitude? Am I faithful in my thought life? Am I faithful in the fruits of the Spirit that I have? That I have love, that I'm long-suffering, that I'm patient? Is God finding me faithful in those things? And when God finds His people being faithful, then we're in a position to be blessed. Let us pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank You, Father, for the truth of Your Word, and it speaks to each and every one of our hearts today. And Father, Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business." We need to be about our Father's business. We need to be faithful in living our life for You. And I know the adversary, he tries to cloud that vision of things that are so seemingly important, but they're only seemingly important. The most important thing that we have is our faith that we have in You. And I pray that, Father, You would clear our vision as never before, that we would have an understanding as never before, that this is the appointed time, that I am to be on earth, that I am to be here, that there is a mission for me, and I want to perform that mission in faithfulness, and I know that, God, You will bless me and You will use me. Father, be with us as we go our separate ways. May Your hand be upon each and every one of our lives. And we ask this all today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.